discussion of free will and specifically the scope of free will today with the following question. Is there such a thing as a nisayon that can't be passed? So, another way maybe to think about this is, do we have free will in all matters pertaining to Yiras Shamayim? So the Pashup Shat, the answer is, of course we do. Like we saw many times, the Gemara that says, Kol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyiras Shamayim. And moreover, it seems absurd that there would be a concept of a Nisayon that can't be passed. After all, what possible value could there be in such a Nisayon? However, perhaps the matter isn't so pasha. Take a look on your source sheets on page 30, a piece from Tzadok. Not the ones I gave out today, but the big packets, page 30. Sorry, not page 30. Page 30. Okay. Amen. It's the citation is at the bottom of page 21, but the actual passage is on the top of page 30. Pa'amim yesh adam omed ben nisayon gadol kol kach ad she'yaf shalo shalo yachata. Sometimes a person faces a nisayon that is so great that it's impossible for him not to sin. Keder she'amru mayase haben v'chulei. This is a reference to the Gemara in Brachos, Amar of Yochanan, Mashal Adam Echad Shahayalo Ben, Hirchitzo Vesacho, Vechilo Veshkehu, Vetalalo Kisal Tavaro, Voshivu Al Pesach Azonim, Mayasa Oso Aben Shalo Yachata. In other words, he was set up in such a way that it would seem sin was inevitable. Uvezeh, Hu Nechshav Ones Gamor, Rachmana Patre. So if in fact it is the case that a person has no choice but to sin, so then how could they be held accountable for their sin? So al korchenu, such a person is ones, and we know ones rachmana patre. V'gam behasasa sayetzer betokef atzum she'yafshar lenatzcho shayach ones. Just as we obviously have the concept of ones if somebody's physically forced to do something, or a gun is put to their head, or the like, so too there's ones with respect to the Yetzer Hara. V'mashem yisbar chesiv es libo harei ein chet, ze chet klal. If Hashem forced him to do it, so then it won't be considered a sin. Rak sheratzon Hashem yisbar chayakach. That's the Ratzon Hashem. And then he gives a very interesting proof for this. He brings a parallel from the Gemara in Pesachim, actually a little later, the Gemara in Ksubos, that if a person tchilaso beratzon besofo beones, the halacha is that if a woman is raped, and originally beones, but then the continuation of the act is beratzon. So even though at that point she engaged in tashma shamita, and it is beratzon, and therefore seemingly that should be considered znus, she should be asura on her husband, and the like. Nevertheless, we say yetzer al b'shei, it's a she was overcome by her yetzer, and that too is considered ones. So Reb Tzadok says, you see from that Gemara in Ksubos, that even the hasasa of the Yetzer Hara has the din, even the halachic din of ones, it's not considered a chet. However, Reb Tzadok warns, skipping to the end, very important point, aval ha'adam atzmo en yachol lohayid al atzmo b'zeh, ki ulai adayin hayalo koach, Lakuf Hayetzer. A person can never know if they are really in that situation. In other words, a person who goes ahead and feels compelled to sin and then sins. So how do you know that you could not be Omid B'Yetzer? Omid B'Nisayon. There might in fact be cases where a person lacks the strength to overcome that Yetzer Hara. But it's impossible for a person to know that they're in such a situation. And therefore, a person may never justify sinning by saying, well, I have to do this, I have no koach, I have no other choice, because you can't know that that's the case. Reb Tzadok writes in the source below that he got this idea from his Rebbe, the Ishbitzer. Take a look at this piece, we won't do it together, from the Me'ah Shiloach, quite a radical piece where you see this idea. Another source where this idea is presented is in a letter that you have below here on the bottom of page 30 from Rav Huttner. And Rav Huttner explains that the bracha of Harotze Betshuva is a reflection of this idea. I guess let's read it together. Mechtav Hanaim Hameid Kamei Eidim. So he asks the following, the Shoel. The Pasuk says in Malachim, Ki yechato lecha, ki ein adam asher yechata, asher lo yechata, v'anaf dabam, v'nasata, v'nasatam lefnei oyev. When they sin to you, because there is no person that never sins, then you will punish them, you'll be angry at them, and they will be defeated by their enemy. V'al zeh hincha kosev b'michtavecha, ki mipashtos halashon mashma, da'af al chatayim shem lamala min abechira yesh onesh. Even on chatayim that relate to a nisayon or a struggle that a person could not possibly overcome, there's still an onesh, right? Because the pasuk says these are begeder ein adam asher lo yechata, implying that there is no choice but to sin. And yet, v'anafta, Hashem, you're angry at them. And the Shoel asks, how is that fair? How is that just? Da'alecha chavivi, ki atshuva al she'elascha, morkeves hi mishtei hatzaos. Yu'yin Rashi, reish parashas nitzavim, leman tzvos harava, es hatzmeya shepiresh, ki mosifin es hashgagos al hazdonos. V'anushim dasdonos, mivarerim, ki gam b'chete ha-shogeg lo haisa sibach kisaron hadas. U'me'at adalach ha-chavivi, ki ozom ha-chatoim asher amnam l'kushta demilsa nasim b'kocho shel ha-chok, she'en adam tzadik b'artza shelo yachata, mikol makom hu lemala mikoach ha-sagaso shel ha-adam l'hachlet eze me'chata'av nasu b'koach b'chiraso, Ve'eza mehen, I don't know, makifim maybe? Al cheshbon zeh, shel ein adam tzadik ba'aretz v'gomer, u'meilu mechuyu v'omid l'sader atzmo seder tikune tshuva al kol chatav. So Rav Huttner acknowledges that indeed there are chatayim that a person has no choice but to sin. They're l'mala mikoch b'chiraso. This relates to the concept of the Nekudas HaBechira that we discussed last time. So there are definitely cases where a person has, in a sense, no choice but to sin. However, you can't know that's the case, as we saw in Reb Tzadok. V'imu poter es atzmo mitikune tshuva alidei zeh shehu zokef es chata'av al cheshbon haklal shel ein adam tzadik ba'aretz. Harei af l'kushta demilsa Hayu chataim alalu lemalu mikoach ha-bechira shelo, bedinhu, shiei anesh aleihem, me'achar sheheder ha-tshuva, mar'e pechisus madregaso b'yiras chet. But when it comes time to tshuva, so I did a sin. I don't know, was that a sin that I really had the strength not to do, or perhaps not? I'm not sure. That uncertainty is mechayev me to do tshuva. And if, in fact, I don't do tshuva, that reflects, that implies, that as a person, I don't acknowledge the gravity of sin. And that in and of itself is mechayev tshuva, and if not, so then it's mechayev an onesh. But essentially, hare memela mukeres she'afach ha'taim she'lamalama b'chira lo nigrimu mitzad zeh she'em lamalama b'chira ela she'chisaron yiras chet shelo. The fact that I don't do tshuva shows I lack yiras chet, and that too speaks to the sins that I did, even those that were lamala mikoch bechirasi. Just like Rashi says that the zdonos speak to the zchuyos, the shkagos. V'zeh kavachomer me'inyan tzfos haravas ha'tzmeya, shehamezid mevarer u'mesalek es hisnatzlos ha'shkaga mechete ha'shogeg. U'kumo kein chisaron ha'daiga penena shachatayim bekoach ha'bechira, mesalek es hisnatzlos shel lamala min ha'bechira. It's a fascinating deal. We say in Shmona Esrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotze b'tshuva. So what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotze b'tshuva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu would presumably much rather that we not sin than desire our tshuva. So you could say it means that if we sin, he's rotze that we do tshuva. But he says, no, even l'chatchila HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotze b'tshuva. Why? Because there are times that we will have no choice but to sin. And under those circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our tshuva, such that that will cause us not to be held accountable for those sins that we had no choice but to commit. So Be'etzem, he gives the second answer at the bottom of the page. You can take a look at it later. But fundamentally, I think he's fully accepting that there are times that a person has no choice but to sin. And he acknowledges it. But because it's the case that you can't know that that is true, so then memela, your response to such sins has to be one of tshuva. And the lack of tshuva implies that perhaps you lack your shemaim, you lack awareness or appreciation of the gravity of the sin. So returning to our question, is there such a thing as an nisayon that can't be passed? I think the answer is yes and no, according to these sources. Yes, insofar as there might be times that a person performs an act that's contrary to the halacha, about which he has no freedom to do otherwise. But the pashut pshat is no, in the sense that it doesn't make so much sense to call such a thing a nisayon. Presumably, the simple understanding of a nisayon is something that I could go both ways. And the nisayon is, will I choose what's right? Because I have a choice to do what's right and what's wrong. That's the classical understanding of a nisayon. The Ramban might actually have a different understanding of what Nisayon means, at least when it appears in the Chumash, and Nisayon is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that Tzaddik will pass, and it's Lotzi Min HaKoach HaPoel and the like. That actually relates to this topic, but is a different discussion. What's the value of that in light of this discussion? But the Pashup shot is that we wouldn't call that a Nisayon. However, what is the purpose of such a thing? Among other things, the question of the nisayon is not in the initial act, about which I might have no choice but to commit, but rather in how I respond to the act. Like Rav Huttner says, will I do tshuva? Will I try to change? Will I learn from the experience and the like? So, while there are acts, Rav Tzaddik uses the term nisayon, but I don't think he means nisayon the way we usually think about it. There are certainly cases where a person might lack the strength or the ability not to sin, but A, a person can't know what those are, and B, therefore, the response is to be one of tshuva here as well, as Rav Tzaddik and Rav Huttner note.
Just regarding the last point of Rav Huttner, Rav Tzaddik, is that also indicating that there's a good reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it that there are certain things that he cannot overcome because he wants the tshuva afterwards?
Maybe. That might be the motivation. There might be other motivations. You could say that. I don't know if you have to. Okay. This relates to another question of Machshava Tova, Misdarf Lamais, and the like, which I think is not the time to discuss, but Machshava Ra is not mitzdarif, but sometimes it is, and the like. But we'll leave that for another time, though. I think it's related. Yeah?
Clarify one small thing that Dr. Fitter was saying. You're saying if you're not asking for Shuvah, then it's as if you
It shows a lack of appreciation of the gravity of the sin, or Yerushamayim, or the like, because you can't know. In other words, if you might have made a mistake, you might have sinned, so then appreciation of the gravity of sin should cause you to do tshuva. So, indeed, if it were the case that there was an avera about which you could say with certainty, I know that I had no choice but to commit that sin, then in fact no tshuva would be necessary. But at least generally speaking, that's not the case. The Stipler also has a letter about this type of thing where he says a similar point. Okay, the next topic I want to talk about concerning the scope of Bechira is a question that many people ask. Can we harm somebody undeserving of pain? So, on the one hand, we have Bechira. Bechira would imply that I could do whatever I want. I have in it within my Bechira to punch you, or to kill a person, or the like, even though presumably they're not deserving of pain. So Bechira would seem to indicate that I'm able to do that. On the other hand, that poses a theological problem. Namely, how could someone undeserving of pain be harmed, be hurt? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu let someone who's undeserving of pain experience pain? Doesn't Hashgacha and Yashrus and justice imply that nobody will get hurt unless it's Nigzar? So, take a look at the supplemental sheet I gave you today. A number of Rishonim point to the Pasuk in Yechezkel on the top right as addressing this question. The Pasuk says, "Vatzofeh ki yireh es hacherev ba'a." When the watchman sees sword coming, v'lo saka b'shofar, but he didn't blow the horn, he didn't sound the alarm, right? Let's say someone is supposed to be a watchman. He is up in his guard booth outside the city, and sorry, were there not enough? Anyone? There you go. Never mind. Those who have, maybe share with, if you don't mind. So, the watchman is at his guard booth watching for enemies and invaders, and he's playing on his phone and texting his friends, and little does he notice that the enemy is approaching, so he does not sound the alarm. V'ha'am lo nizhar v'tavo charev, and the nation, the military is not warned, the alarm isn't sounded, and now the enemy is attacking. Vatikach mehem nafesh, and people are killed because of his negligence. Hu ba'avono nilkach, this person who has died has been killed due to his sin. Meaning to say that the people in the city who have been killed died due to their sin. There's no such thing as an innocent person dying. Rather, if somebody died, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to die, due to their chet, presumably. This relates to another question, which we're not going to get into today. I guess I should stop saying we'll get to it later. I don't know how many more shiurim we have. But on the syllabus, when we talk about, I don't know, maybe next semester, if anyone wants to continue, we could get to this. The question of, is there such a thing as a person suffering without sin? It's actually seemingly a debate in the Gemara. The Ramban thinks perhaps that we do accept the view that at times there is suffering without sin. That's how he explains the book of Eov, and ultimately the lesson that Elihu tells Eov as explaining why there would be perhaps suffering without sin and the like. But either way, the point is that the pasuk saying that nobody will die in this city unless they're supposed to die. V'damo miyad hatzofeh edrosh. However, I will hold the guard accountable because it was Higgs negligence that caused people to die. So the pasuk in Yechezkel is saying that both things are true simultaneously. On the one hand, anyone who dies has died because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goes that they should die. Hu bavo no. And therefore, this watchman who was playing on his phone might say, ah, well, don't get so angry at me. It's true that I was asleep on the job, but everybody who died was supposed to die. So what are you upset with me? The answer is no. The watchman who was negligent, who was not taka b'shofar when he should have, is held accountable for their deaths. So that is what the pasuk says. Now, Rav Sadia Gaon asks the question, how is it possible that both of these are true? Meaning to say, let's read it as he puts it. Anu Omrim, this is Emunos Vadeus, the next source. Anu Omrim, ki hamavis maaseh Hashem, v'haretzach maaseh haresha. Both are true. The fact that the fellow dies is maaseh Hashem. It would not have to happen had Hashem not wished it to happen. But at the same time, we hold the murderer accountable for his crime. He can't excuse himself by saying, well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want you to die, then I would not have been allowed to kill you. Vim kvar chiyava chachma misa, ilu haya ilu lo hezid, harotzeach, hazeh v'hargo, hayameis, mesibos acheros. Had this guardman not slouched, had he remained awake and blown the horn and prevented the onslaught, then these people who are deserving of death would have died in some other way. The kacha inyan beganav, im haya ma Hashem me'abed Hashem l'miktsas mamon bnei Adam o be'onesh lahem o b'nisayon ma nemar b'gneva ha'im ze ma'isem eis Hashem. So if somebody steals from me, so if I lose money, so it's happened for a reason, either as an onesh or as a nisayon. However, that does not exonerate the thief. We see the thief as acting on his own accord. And had he not freely chosen to act and steal from me, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have caused that chisaron mamon to have taken place in some other way. Right? Vatshuva ki ha'ibud ma'isei Hashem v'agneva ma'isei bnei Adam. The next source, you have the Abar Benel, who also develops this idea. He uses it to explain the story of Yosef. On the one hand, Chazal tell us that Yosef's being taken down to Egypt was Eitza Muka, Me'akavur B'chevron. It was a means of fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gzeira made at the Bris Bein Abisarim, Yado Ateda Kiger Yezar Achar Beretz Lo Lahem. So maybe you would think that should exonerate the brother's free choice to sell him? And he says, absolutely not. Shehata, we'll just read where it's bolded. Shatachlis hakolel kefi agzera ha-elokis hu hechrechi. In other words, Klal Yisrael would have ended up in Mitzrayim one way or the other. Amnam hadvarim achelkiyim hamivyim elav hem efshariyim. The way in which the gzera was going to be carried out is not determined. Ki haya efshar shimashich oso tachles hagazur lefanav yisbaruch beofanim rabim mischalfim. The gzera of Klal Yisrael being in Egypt could have taken place in some other way. V'lo yasig achreach leechad mehem kiilu tomar shiridas Yaakov vanav Mitzrayim lagur sham. Now, what this obviously implies is that the gzeros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not firmly decreed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. The plan might be that a person, certain person should get killed, or on a more national level, that Klal Yisrael should end up in Egypt. How those plans are carried out are somewhat not fixed, and through Bechira Chavshis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can ensure that his plans are carried out, while at the same time people remain free, and therefore all people are held accountable for their free decisions, even though no suffering and pain are caused when they're unwarranted. Another source where you see this is the Gemara in Tainis, you have below. This is the story of Turainus, who was about to execute Lulianus and his brother Pappus in Ludkia. And basically, he tells them, if you are the descendants of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so Hashem should deliver you from my hand, just like he saved Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from Nebuchadnezzar. And they reply that basically no one has the power to kill anyone undeserving of death, but that doesn't mean that there's going to be an ace. So if we die in your furnace, that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us dead. Don't think that you were able to cause someone undeserving of death to die. V'anu, the Gemara says, Nischayavnu klaya l'makom. If we die, it's because we're chayav misa. V'im ena tahorgenu harbe horgim yesh lo l'makom. V'harbi dubim v'arayo yesh lo l'makom. Be'olamo shepogin banu v'hargin osanu. This is frequently referred to as Harbe Shluchim L'makom. So, this is definitely the approach of a number of thinkers. Maybe we'll see more who adopt this approach as well in a couple of minutes. However, there do seem to be those who disagree. One of the most famous sources is Nor Chaim HaKadosh. You could see that on page 32 of your source sheets. The Nor Chaim is basically a Zohar, which you see below here on page 32. I will see it in the Arachayim. The Arachayim says that Tzileu miyadam, miyad balei bechira, shicholim laharog, gam mish lo nischayev misa, ma she'eno kein bechayos raos. Essentially, he's discussing what is the advantage, what does it mean, Yatzilehu miyadam. Originally, the brothers were going to kill Yosef, and then the suggestion is that they put him in a pit. The pit had scorpions, snakes and scorpions in it. Ba'bor rekein b'mayim, aval nechashim v'akravim yeshbo. So what's the mila? Isn't that just the same thing as killing him? And the argument was, no, that we as humans can kill him even if he's undeserving of death. Right? Bali bechira yecholim laharo gam mishalom eschayiv misa. But not chayus raos. Somebody's killed by a lion, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to die. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want them to die, so Hashem would not have told the lion or allowed the lion to kill them. Masha'en Kain, says Or HaChaim, Bali Bechira have the koach to overcome and seemingly kill even somebody innocent. Perhaps, as I said, you see a makor for this in the Zohar below. Further proof might be from Tosis and Bava Kamma and Pehei Amid Aleph. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Samach Zayin Amid Beis also, I think, Pashup Shad implies this. The Gemara says, "Lama nikra shman kshafin shemechashvin pamalia shel mala," which sounds like it's saying that even though there's a gzeira on a person that, let's say, he should live, kishuf could be mechashiv pamalia shel mala, could overcome that gzeira and cause even those undeserving of death to die. I'm not sure that's the only way to read that phrase, but I think it's the Pashup Shad. So just to summarize, there are numerous thinkers who maintain that an innocent party will never be killed, among them Rav Sag, Rav Sadia Gon, Adchovos, Halvavos, and Shar Bitachon. Perek Zion says this as well. The Sefer HaChinuch in Reish Mem Aleph says this as well. The Barbanel, as we saw before, says this. The Gra in Mishle, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Tes seems to say this. All of them seem to assume that it's impossible to cause someone death who hasn't been decreed that they die. There might be a difference between causing other people pain and causing yourself pain or death. Tosis and Elonairos about Biado Lahamis Atzmo. Is there a chiluk? There's a famous Rabbi Chanan about that. Other sources, as we just saw, seem to disagree with that. There are some thinkers who try to reconcile these seemingly divergent sources. There's a piece in the Sifsei Chaim. If you look, it's in Emuna Vashkacha, Volume 1, on page 390 to 399, who tries to say that there's not a machlokas here. I didn't quite understand how he did that. But the pashup shot is that there does seem to be a machlokas about this question. It would seem to me that the more prevailing view, the more dominant view, is that you cannot cause someone pain if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want them to experience pain. But it does seem to be a machlokas. This question obviously relates to a number of questions relating to Hashgacha that we're not going to get involved with now. As we noted, the Mahalich, for example, in Rav Sadia Gaon, seems to imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have a plan, and all pain and suffering that a person experiences is part of that plan, but the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has is not fixed and determinative, such that there's still room for Bechira to exist. Maybe we'll talk about this a little more next week. I'd like to do next week Pesach with you, and Pesach and Bechira. We'll do the intersection. We'll talk about the Sugya of Bechira and Tzias Mitzrayim. And the Rambam deals with this issue as well there, in terms of correlating Bechira and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan in the world. So maybe we'll return to this question with a little more sophistication next week, and try to figure out next week a related topic, which is how does Bechira relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, both for in a global sense, for Klal Yisrael, for history, a teleological approach to world history, as well as for individuals. Yeah.
One option that this might be an approach that would reconcile the two approaches. Mm-hmm. We know that Nabas Chuse, for example, Rabbi Hanina, if you really were perfect, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow anything to happen. Happens to be that you have sin, you have a debt to pay, and therefore if somebody tries to do something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be matzi you from.
Yeah. So that, I don't know if that answer works, is a pashup shot, we'll say, in that source that we saw from Ersad Yagon and the like. You could say that. And there's a makom to say that, perhaps, in understanding the Ramban's Mahalich of Hashgacha in general, which is that, also the Rambam, that if a person was on a higher madrega, they would be zocha to a greater level of shmira. And therefore, if a person suffers due to teva, or for that matter, bechira, it's in a sense their fault, because had they been a chassid, then they would have experienced shmira that would have protected them. Doesn't sound to me that that's what the Rav Sadia Gaon is saying over here. But that mahalich in general might be true. And there's certainly makom to say that, as I said, that's, for example, the way Rabbeinu Bachya is Miyashiv the stira between the Ramban and Bereishis Perek Yud Ches and elsewhere, where he acknowledges that seemingly Teva causes people to suffer, and the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, where he denies that. It's a bigger topic, which I'd like to get to. See. But one avenue of being Miyashiv those Rambans is to say something along the lines of what you were saying. And I think that is a way to reconcile some of the sources that that perhaps imply that a person will not suffer undeservingly and at the same time Bechira. I don't think that's what the Rav Sadia Gaon is getting at, but that is a possible mahalich, I think. Okay. The next question, we're going to try to have a little quicker since the year is quickly coming to an end. It's hard to imagine. Relating to the scope of Bechira is the question of whether free will is limited to thought, A, and B, whether it includes thought, or is just with respect to actions. Take a look at the Chovas HaLevavos on page 32 of your source sheets, starting at bottom of 32, going on to 33. Ma'aseh avodah ve'aveira lo yitachnu la'adam ki'im b'hikabetz shlosha dvarim. Human action that constitute either avodas Hashem or transgressions, averos, can take place only if the following three factors are present. We're now at the top of 33. Number one, ha'achad ha'bechira b'libo u'v'matzpuno. You had to make a decision, a choice, to do this. If a person goes ahead and they do an avera, they eat nevela, so the first thing that has to happen is that they have to decide to eat it. Or if it's a mitzvah, to do the mitzvah. Vasheni, ha'kavana v'haskama la'asos ma'asha b'charbo. Then you have to have intent and resolve to do what you've chosen. A lot of times you might decide, I'm going to do X, but you lack the kavana, you lack the resolve to actually carry out your plan. And finally, number three, vashlishi, shiyishtadel ligmor ha'ma'aseh be'evarav ha'nirim biyotiyuhu el gader ha'ma'aseh. The effort to complete the intended act with one's limbs and to bring it into actuality. Umash eino ne'elam mimenu bahem kibchiras ha'avoda v'aveira v'akavana v'ha'asgama ala ma'aseh habitachon ala lokim b'zeh ta'us v'sichlos. So in regard to that which is not hidden from us, such as the choice of service or sin, namely number one, or number two, resolve. So then relying on bitachon is foolish. In other words, this is in Shar HaBitachon, and therefore he's telling you the parameters of bitachon. So to have bitachon with respect to the first and the second category is ridiculous. I have bitachon that Hashem's going to make me one mitzvos. Ah, what a big baal bitachon I am. So that's in that realm, bitachon is inappropriate. Why? Ki aborei yisborach hinyach birshusenu bechiras avodah v'hamraso. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left us that choice to either do avoda or to rebel. Kimo she'ama uvacharta b'chaim, as the pasuk says, we have bechira, and Hashem charges us to choose life. V'lo iniach b'rshusenu hashlamas ha'ma'aseh ba'avoda uve'aveira, ela b'sibos shehem chutz lanu mizdamnos l'ktsas ha'itim v'nimna'os b'ktsasam. So with respect to the third category, so then we have Bechira. We don't fully have Bechira. It's not fully in our hands. Meaning to say, whether or not we decide to do a mitzvah, that's Biadenu. And the resolve to do it is also Biadenu. Success is not Biadenu. Sometimes we might decide we want to do a mitzvah, and for reasons beyond our control, we're not able to succeed. Same thing with an avera. So what he's pointing out is that the ikar nekuda, where we have bechira, where our bechira is experienced, is actually in the realm of thought and decision making. Success is oftentimes beyond our control. We don't always have the ability to carry out our thoughts. Sefer Chinuch has a similar idea in Shin Pei Zion, where he writes that acts are outgrowths of our thoughts, and therefore the focus of our avoda should be with respect to controlling our thoughts. Oh, So that's, in a sense, you could take this even further, as some Hasidic thinkers have done, and say basically that's where Bechira lies. Bechira doesn't really lie in our action, because again, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reasons, will sometimes allow us to carry out our intended actions and sometimes not allow us. So the Ikar Makom Bechira is really in the realm of our decision making, and it's not in the realm of carrying out its, or as Rabbeinu Bachya puts it, it's in step one and two, but not in step three. Now this brings us to another question, a related question, not the identical point, which is, to what extent does our freedom apply to our thoughts? To what extent, you know, intuitively, of course, we actually feel free with respect to our actions, but we don't necessarily fully feel free with respect to our thoughts. You know, before davening Shmona Esrei, I might say, okay, I'm going to daven the entire Shmona Esrei without losing concentration for one moment. Maybe that falls under the gadar of a nisayon that can't be passed, by the original discussion. Or maybe your point, if I was in a different place, I would be able to pass it. Yeah. So, anyhow, what is the nature of our bechira with respect to our thoughts? So, I don't remember if any of you remember earlier when we were talking about Rabbeinu Kreskes a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned his assumption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hold us accountable for our thoughts insofar as they're not in our control. Many others disagree, as we'll see right now, and point out that mitzvos like emunah or the prohibition against coveting all indicate that we are in control, at least to some degree, of our thoughts. Rabbeinu Kreskes there doesn't totally deny that. He's mechalik between beliefs which he thinks are beyond our control and desires which a person might have more control. But let's focus on some more mainstream thinkers that make this point very powerfully. We'll start with the Sefer Chinuch, Tuf Tes Zion, which is in your supplemental sheets that I gave out today, the next source. The Al Tatam El Omar, I don't have much money. I see my friend who has lots of cash. So is it really in my power to not be misave, not desire that? How could the Torah prohibit such thoughts? Those who claim that we lack the ability to control our thoughts are foolish and wicked insofar as they justify their wicked behavior by saying that these thoughts are beyond their control. Ki amnam biyad ha'adam limnoa atzmo umachshevosav v'ta'avosav mikol ma sheyirtze uvirshuso v'dato leharchik ulekarev cheftzo b'chol advarim kirtzono v'libo masor biyado al kol asher yachpotz yatenu. It's a play in the Pasuk in Mishlei that a person's heart is in their hands. They may direct it wherever they see fit. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, we do have control over our thoughts. Other thinkers ask, how is it possible? Again, the Sefer HaChinuch over here at least doesn't explain how that's true. He simply states that it's wrong. Those who think that we don't control our thoughts are wrong. The Ibn Ezra in the next source asks the question. He says, how is it that we can control our thoughts? This is the first one is the Ibn Ezra from Parshas Yisro on the Pasuk of Lo Sachmod. It's interesting that he asks this on Lo Sachmod. It would seem perhaps it would be better to ask this on Lo Sisaveh. Mechilta says that losachmot is only violated when it leads to an action. The Rambam paskins this in Sefer Chinuch, and does this in the Sefer Mitzvos, this is the Shulchan Aruch. Though many point out that maybe even the Rambam thinks that fundamentally it's an avera shebelev, the shir is the extent to which you'll take action. But anyway, whether you think the question should be asked on Lo Sachmot or Lo Sasava, the question should be asked. So let's take a look at what the Ibn Ezra says. V'chol ha-mitzvos al shlosha drachim. Ha'achas mitzvos ha-lev, v'asheni mitzvos ha-lashon, v'ashlishi mitzvos ha-seh. We could divide mitzvos into three categories. Those of the heart, those pertaining to speech, and those pertaining to deed, to action. V'amitzvos ha-lev, heim shnei drachim, mitzvos ha-seh, mitzvos lo sa-seh, v'hinei mitzvos ha-seh, v'haftas Hashem lokecha, u'ledavka ba, u'liras Hashem ha-nechbad, v'haftal lecha kamocha. It's also interesting to what extent is v'haftalech kamocha in deed or in act or in thought. U'mitzos lo sase lo sisna sachicha b'lvecha v'lo sakom v'lo sitor, and of course lo sachmod. So we have mitzos sase, mitzos lo sase, avas Hashem, avas mei adam, lo sachmod, all of which relate to our thoughts, our heart, our intentions. Anashim rabim yitmu alzos ha-mitzvah. Eich yia adam shelo yachmod davar yafa b'libo. How could it be? Person goes ahead, they see somebody with something they don't have. How could they simply turn off that emotion, that desire? Is there such a thing as a bad emotion, and do we have control over it? Da'ata etein lecha mashal. Da, ki ish kafri, shiyesh lo, das nechona, v'hu ra bas melech shihiyafe, lo yachmod osa b'libo sheyishkav ima ki yada ki zeh lo yitachein. Apparently the Ibn Ezra didn't see Aladdin and therefore the mashal he gives, you know, the fact that we would say that mashal isn't true relates to a very different world view and expectation that we have. We'll give a more updated version, right? I'm on the junior varsity basketball team. I'm a bench warmer. You know, I'll only be put into play if, we're 25 points behind and 25 points ahead. Never quite happened that we were ever 25 points ahead. But I actually got a lot of playing time because, 25 points behind. Anyway, so, I might be jealous of like one of the starters on the team, but I'm not jealous of Michael Jordan. There's no havamina. It's like, you see a bird flying overhead, you don't say, "Wow, I'm so jealous. I wish I had wings so I could fly." A person covets, a person desires, a person is jealous of things that are in their realm, their purview of things that are at least imaginable. And something which is totally unimaginable, it's totally not shaykh to me at all, so I don't desire such a thing. So he says like this, Kvar kol maskil, skip to the next paragraph, Tzarch she'eda, ki isha yafel mamon, lo yimtze'enu adam ba'avur chachmaso v'da'ato. Rak kasher chalak lo Hashem, someone who truly believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them all that they should have. And if they don't have something, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not think that they should have it. And something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to have is totally not shayach to us. It's like the wings. Like people don't grow wings. So if a person recognizes that, if a person has proper bitachon, memela, they'll never be jealous. So does that mean that a person can just turn off the desire? Remember once Rabbi Twersky read this Ibn Ezra, and he said, no, he doesn't think that Ibn Ezra means that. A person accomplishes this, reaches this madrega, with avoda. If you're in the you know, you're outside and you're cold, or you're in your small house and you can't afford wood, and your family are freezing, and you see, you know, up the hill there's this wealthy person whose house is lit and warm and full of food. So in that moment of jealousy, it might actually be impossible to just turn off that thought. But a person who's worked on themselves, and whether it's learning Musar or contemplation or through studying Torah and the like, so they will reach a madrega where naturally they will not be jealous. Because they know that, certainly assuming that they did appropriate ishtadlus, that what that person has and what I lack is something that's not shaykh to me at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me what I should have, and what he doesn't give me is beyond what's at all nogeya. So, basically, at the root of Ibn Ezra's answers is that ultimately a person's desires are controllable insofar as we have the ability to use our reason, our seichel, to overcome our desires. If you take a look at the Ksav HaKabbalah in this pasuk, he develops this idea very nicely. The Ibn Ezra also deals with this issue in Sefer Dvarim on the second time, in Parshat Eschanan, and there he deals with it from a slightly different perspective. Take a look over here. Rama Omer Kenav Machshava Salev. It's not the question of how could we do it, but what's bad about Machshava Salev? Veina Lam Scharva Onesh. Lemor Ima Adam Eno Yachol Limana. No. Viesh Rayos Rabos Lashav Elein Velo Arich. Rak Erecha Rak Rabriam. So he quotes another pasuk. Lev Choresh Machshavos Oven Vachule. And look at that last line. Veikar Kol Amitzvos Liyasher Halev. Verubam Zecher. The main purpose of mitzvos is to strengthen the heart. Meaning to say that through doing mitzvos, like the Sefer HaChinuch writes so many times, the maisim affect the lev. The mitzvos are liyasheres halev, and through doing mitzvos and observing Torah and learning Torah, as well as, of course, Musar and the like, so we'll be in a position where these machshavos will not be able to control us, but we'll be in control of them. There's a powerful medrash that stresses this idea. Harishayim bershus liban, amar naval bilibo, vayomer isav bilibo, vayomer ravam bilibo, vayomer haman bilibo, aval atzadikim liban bershuso. As the pasuk says, v'chana hi medaberes al liba. Vayomer David el libo, vayasem Daniel al libo, and this is Domet HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayomer Hashem el libo. We have incredible bechira, and that bechira even extends to our thoughts and to our emotions. Rishayim say no. We are birshus b'libeinu, amar naval b'libo. Amar Yisav Bilibo. Rishayim deny they have that freedom, whether it's because they never developed it, or that's the way in which they justify their acts, or a combination of the two. The avoda of Torah is to give us the bechira, to strengthen our bechira, to make live lives in a way in which we live our lives freely, in which the decisions that we made are free decisions. Like we saw last week, it's not automatic. Like we saw from that, the Chassid Yaivitz, most people live most of their lives non-freely. Rav Dessler points out that if you don't experience what freedom is, you could deny that it exists. And many people that deny freedom is because they never experienced true freedom. They live their lives non-freely. They never actualize that incredible koach that they have. Through Avodas Hashem, a person can become more and more free. We gave the mashal before of distracting thoughts during Shemona Esrei. The avoda of working on tefillah will bring a person to a place where he's able to focus on his tefillos for 5 minutes without distractions. It's not automatic, like we said. Just like controlling your emotions. You can't just decide one day, all right, you know, I'm never going to be jealous again. Or I'm never going to have any hesach hadas or distractions while davening Shemona Esrei. But a person, through Avodas Hashem, through Shirim Yeres HaMitzvos, through working on Chovos HaLevavos, has the ability to expand the scope of their Bechira, to live life where they're living life freely. And if you don't live life freely, so then it's very easy to deny that you have that freedom because you've never experienced it. Why would you think you have it if it's not something that you live by, that you've seen? And that, the Medrash is saying, is the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha. The tzaddik is someone who is midaber el libo. Tzaddikim are liban birshusan, whereas rishayim are birshus liban. And I think that's the avoda of Bechira. Bechira in many ways isn't just automatic. In its most basic level, it's automatic and a gift. But the scope of our freedom and the way in which we experience that freedom is something that to a large degree is in our hands. And the question is, do we realize that or do we let it atrophy? Do we let it rot? Do we not actualize that incredible potential? Okay, Shabbos, one question.